Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Tie Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. 316-6196 is the number. Make sure you go with my friends at Black Tie if you are going to be on the move. Why? It's very simple. Because they're the best. They're going to stay on budget. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. You'd be a damn fool not to use Black Tie if you're moving in Memphis. Cross town, cross country, it don't matter. They are the best. Call them. Get on the schedule. Black Tie Moving. 316-6196. Change and move in the city of Memphis. Call today. All right, so we have a little bit of drama. I have some drama with Bill Belichick and North Carolina football. So it started out with a report from Pablo Torre, who I don't think he's at ESPN anymore, but he reported that Hudson, Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, who had been in the news after that interview on CBS, has been banned from the Tar Heels football facility. He cited multiple North Carolina sources. And he said that the decision was made by members of the university's administration in the wake of that interview, which the 24-year-old Hudson interrupted to shut down a question regarding her, how her and the coach met. He said, two sources at the UNC tell me that there's been a decision that was made last week by the higher-ups inside the athletic department that had hired Bill Belichick to be the highest paid public employee, and that decision was that Jordan Hudson, she's no longer allowed in the football building. She is not allowed on the football field. Quote, don't think you'll be hearing much about Jordan or much from Jordan moving forward. He also went on to say that Bill's family is extraordinarily concerned by what's transpired. One Belichick family source told me there is deep worry for how detrimental she can be, not just for North Carolina, but Bill's legacy, reputation. Yeah. Everything he has built and worked for over decades. In fact, the family has been digging into Jordan Hudson as well. Well, that was beginning. And since then, North Carolina itself has come out and released a statement saying that, in fact, she is not banned and she is welcome at the North Carolina football facility. So it's kind of become a complete mess, depending on who you believe. But, I mean, North Carolina said she is welcome.
Did you read the rest of their statement?
I did not read the rest of that.
Jordan will continue to manage all activities related to Coach Belichick's personal brand outside of his responsibilities for Carolina football and the university.
Okay.
So it's, she can be around so long as she's doing the work of Bill and his brand.
Yes. Well, obviously that does fly in the face of Pablo's report, which is that she is not allowed in the football.
Correct. Bill. Pablo Torre finds out the, what is that, a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that this what UNC released would suggest that, yes, his which attributed his information to two sources within the department, that she had been banned. That would look to be erroneous based on this statement from UNC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think he may be like...
Would you like the update from Pablo?
Is there an update?
Because I did see something about this from Pablo Torre. P.S., UNC can now choose to describe or change its position on Jordan Hudson's involvement however it wishes. Following the publication of our episode, we requested comment and filed dozens of Freedom of Information Act requests that were not satisfied, and we stand by the specific reporting, in our episode, which came from the highest levels of the football program.
Because of the circus this is, because of knowing, having done it, covered it, how athletic departments work, right, and how oftentimes, sometimes them cleaning up the mess is ugly, I think Pablo's, I don't doubt his report.
Mm-hmm.
He had two sources within the department. He's good at what he does, Pablo Torre, and... Again, what I'm saying is I could absolutely see that having had been the case, Pablo right. gets it, they come out and change that and make it look like his report is erroneous, Oh, it happens in college athletics. And so, yes, while on the surface it would look like Pablo's, it still looks like Pablo's wrong. They can release the statement, and that's the facts that you have on record, because in this case, Pablo doesn't have his sources named. They're not public.
Right.
So UNC's got you on the surface, but I believe him.
Right.
Let's be real. This thing is a circus, man. This woman's been, I mean, I don't know if she's put some blood in Bill's spaghetti, you know, and mm-hmm. once he ate it, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He can't, he's lost, but clearly his family's concerned. North Carolina's let it get to a point where it's just, you are now a joke.
Yeah.
In terms of, you go out and hire the man when nobody wanted the job. Remember that. Nobody wanted the job. Then you got him. We said we got the, one of the greats. And then look at who's running your program in a way.
Mm-hmm.
His young girlfriend that seems to have a trance, seems to have him hypnotized or
right,
something.
Right.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And we see that now, here's the thing, she's back around them players. She's back on the practice field. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about a GOAT.
Yep.
Somebody who we thought was always under control. In fact, control is how he reigned.
100%.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
It's a crazy deal. It's a crazy deal.
Was it blood that she put in the spaghetti?
No, I don't think it was that. I think it's just like he doesn't get a chance to, you know, I mean.
It's been a minute. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Whipped.
He's definitely whipped. And it's this is the.
This, but this is past that.
Well, yeah.
Whipped is like, you know, I can't stop thinking about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
When you are CCing her.
Yeah.
On your job business.
Right.
You're going on the morning show and letting her run it. Nah, bro, she's put the fangs in him.
Absolutely.
She bit him.
She's got something.
Sinners.
She's got something in him for sure. But yeah, crazy story out there at Chapel Hill. I don't know how this is going to be successful.
Hold your ground, Pablo. Yep. I stand with you, Torre.
All right. It is about that time. Brad 1-0 last night. I don't even know what, again, fade Brad, tail Brad, you guys figure it out. I can't. But it is that time. We got four games to go over. We got Friday night tonight, and we got Saturday tomorrow. Let's do fade Brad. We got to get some more AI on there. We got to get some different AI. We got to get, like, who's my guy from the NBA promos? We got to get him on there, you know. Yeah, 1-0 last night for Brad, bringing his record to 22-17.
Yes.
22-17.
That's my job in this now.
He's pulling away.
Record keeper.
He's pulling away.
He is.
All right, four games, two tonight, two tomorrow. As always, we do use odds from ESPN Bet. And I'm a little worried that the numbers that he sent us earlier are outdated.
One of them for sure is.
But he's going to have to go with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Stays on the side. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to keep him where he is.
So Cleveland at Indiana, Cleveland -5.5.
So the original number, this is the one that is outdated as our news kind of broke this morning that we are expecting Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter available tonight for the Cavaliers. This one came unsolicited, no other words, just Cavs minus. At the time, 3.5, but we're taking Cavs -5.5.
I think he would still do it even with the new line because of the players being back.
Oh, I think
agreed.
So I think this is
definitely
an integrity pick for him.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That the line change doesn't affect.
All right, so he likes Cleveland.
I'm worried. He's right.
I mean,
he's going to remain hot.
Yeah, hard to really
again,
argue.
Again, guys, we're letting you know he's hot right now. It's fade Brad Carson is the idea, but
right.
Trade. He's on a bit of a heater.
We recognize hot hands around here. I mean, we've been following sports a long time.
Yeah. So he likes the Cavs -5.5 on the road tonight. 9:00 ESPN. Thunder at the Nuggets, tied at 1 apiece. OKC -5.5.
And that is how Brad is picking it. Rolling with the Thunder -5.5. SGA and the depth of that team going to put them over top of the Nuggets.
Okay, come on, my Nuggets. Come on.
Fade Brad.
This is
praying for it.
This is where we might get him.
Let's hope so. I don't really have a ton to say about that one.
I know you're worried. You're worried he's going 2-0. I can tell by the look on your face.
Yeah, I mean, I've been betting the Thunder pretty religiously.
What are you not just tailing this man at this point, like
no.
secretly?
Well,
you
I did,
respect
I did
hot
have,
hands.
I did have
you
the
did
Timberwolves
have OKC.
Last night.
Yeah, no Timberwolves. That's right.
I faded him against the Nuggets. I had OKC in game two. Uh-huh. So it's not like I'm not blindly fading or tailing him. Sometimes he's going to be right, though. There's no doubt about
that.
Well,
he's in the zone right now, but the weekends have hurt him.
Neither of these games speaks to me. I mean, over maybe on both, right? I mean, I don't really have a super strong opinion. Flip a coin, dude. You want some action? Just
oh, you can't do that on sports radio.
Yeah,
can't flip a coin. Say it's a toss up. You have to pick a side.
It's just the NBA playoffs. All right, so that's Friday. That's tonight's games, and then. Tomorrow, Celtics at Knicks. Knicks up 2-0. Jason, Shaq, others have called this a must-win game for the New York Knicks. Celtics are 5.5-point favorites.
You put me in there with Shaq. Like
you, you and Shaq. You and
Yeah.
Kazam. That is that's proper company.
It was weird.
Kazam.
Didn't feel right. Felt uncomfortable.
No, Shazam.
And I'm sure
is it Shazam or Kazam?
I don't think he acknowledges my place in that tandem.
It was Kazam. And,
rightfully so.
Not Sinbad.
I'd never watched that mess.
It was Shaq.
I'm just not going to subject myself or my family to go seeing Kazam.
Yeah.
Joke.
We love you, Sinbad, but it was not him in that movie. It was Shaq.
All right. I'm very excited about this game.
We need Brad's pick.
Are we going for Brad's pick?
I don't know why it became my breakdown.
Yeah. I mean, we know where you're at on it. We need Brad's pick. We need the real genius in the room.
The real genius in the room from Chicago. He's picking the Knicks plus 5.5. He thinks this could be close,
damn it,
but it is going to a 3-0 lead. Quote, time to put the foot on the throat and let Boston shoot themselves out of the playoffs. It's also a decent enough point spread with how close the first couple games have been.
Yeah, so again, this is one of those texts that you read it and you
with Shaq.
You have absolutely no idea what he's trying to say because he says, Knicks plus 5.5, parentheses, yes, will to think could be close to a 3-0 lead. Oh, he meant wild to think could be close to a 3-0 lead. But time to put the foot on the throat and let Boston shoot themselves out of the playoffs for old Tibbs.
So we do love Tibbs.
Old Tibbs.
So Brad, but he's okay. He's expecting Knicks win.
He has.
Am I missing that? He is expecting Knicks win.
He is expecting
a 3-0 lead. Yes. He's with Shaq.
Yeah. He is with Shaq. You are with Shaq.
No, I just said I subscribe to some of that theory.
Too many people are aligning on the Knicks here. The Celtics are going to beat—they're going to beat the brakes off.
$27,000.
Yes,
for a ticket. The
Matt
best
Damon
ticket.
Is going to buy it, and Mark Wahlberg.
We could buy it with your betting winnings, and it could be me and you sitting
in
front row.
I have two in a row, and I'm looking good on Minnesota series. A lot of haters said, "How could you bet on the Minnesota Timberwolves? They're down 0-1." I said, watch
Learn
this. Watch
I mean, that
this.
That was too easy yesterday. Come on.
Watch this.
You going to really pat yourself on the back for that yesterday?
Man, it's hard to win. I pat myself every time I win. It's hard to win. It's easy after the fact, but it's hard before.
Dude, that's a lottery team without Steph on it.
You still got to press submit. That's the hard part. You still got to press submit.
Good job.
But no, you're right. Them folks look like the Wizards without Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, I was like, all right.
All people, Brandon Pajemski is getting 30-plus minutes in a playoff game. That's nasty.
I would have sat him because I need him.
Yeah.
Him and Jimmy not getting over 30 yesterday. That game was over.
All right, so I will be. I will probably be on the Celtics in this one, just full disclosure. Again, with Uberman, Jason Tatum, and the Celtics, too.
He must respond.
He must respond.
And he knows it. He's had to address it.
There's no S involved if you're talking about Tatum.
I think
you have
even
to leave
the movie
the S out.
Said, look, we will drop this trailer of you and Superman that we've spent so much money on if you don't bring it in Game 3.
Uberman, Man of Teal.
I'm sure the movie folks are challenging more than Missoula is with his old scared tail.
Right.
But we're just got to make the shots.
Give me the Celtics bouncing back there.
Great adjustments, Joe.
But Brad likes the Knicks plus 5.5. All right, last one. Timberwolves Warriors 7:30 on ABC. Minnesota going for the 2-1 lead. Minnesota minus 5.5.
I'd be all over Minnesota side on this, but what's Brad got?
Brad going opposite. He has Golden State plus 5.5. He said heart of champions. In effect, at home.
Praise. Yeah. I'm glad he's there. I'm glad he's on that side.
Now, what I would ask Brad is,
at all.
Are the champions in the room with us in this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the room. He's just in street clothes on the bench.
Right. He does know Jimmy's not won a championship, right?
No, Jimmy has not won one.
And Draymond
he
has.
And he doesn't. I mean, that is the only. So, but I'm just saying.
He's out of control.
Where's the plural here? I see one champ. Where are the other ones? Because Clay's in Dallas. Steph's on the bench.
One champ.
So is this hard? Well, what about Steve Kerr? Does he count?
I guess, man.
He counts.
Okay, so there's.
But he ain't playing. I can't tell you how many. I can't tell you how many games I've gotten in trouble where I have said, oh, I love this coach. He's going to find a way. And then you realize, oh.
The team is.
He can't.
Oh, we saw the whole team.
Ty Lue in that game seven, perfect example. I bet the Clippers because I was like, Ty Lue in a game seven, he's an unbelievable coach.
It wasn't him that let you down, it was James Harden.
But that's what I'm saying, though. It's about the players. You know, in the end, you can be the best coach in the world.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
No. You know, that's what I worry about. I mean, what can Steve Kerr scheme up on with this team, bro? I mean, it's just.
That's what I've said about anybody that's talking about Spoelstra should be out in Miami. Right. I mean, he had nothing after
the
trade.
You're right. That's very fair.
Pelly Larson starting minutes in Miami there.
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah. That was a brutal roster. Haywood Highsmith.
Oof.
Davion, yeah. Not Donovan
What's
Mitchell.
What's supposed to do?
Yeah, tough. So there you have it. All right, so if you're fading Brad, just to recap this, Pacers plus 5.5, Nuggets plus 5.5, Celtics minus 5.5, and Timberwolves minus 5.5. So very simple. Dogs tonight, favorites tomorrow if you're fading Brad.
Okay.
So there you go. He made it nice and easy for us. I need 2-1, like I need air. That's going to be a big one for me tomorrow. If I can get up 2-1, I'm going to start counting that money.
Okay, and we're headed to MSG for game 4, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back. Parth Upadhyay is going to join us on the other side. We will talk to him about the Louisville series. We'll talk to him about Dane Danger's waiver chances. We'll talk to him about this team and how it's forming. All that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Turner FM, ESPN. Hold the line! With the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Dial the line. Email the line. I mean, only if you want to make the most money for your home. If you're somebody that doesn't want to make the most money for your home, don't worry about the Live Love Group. But if you do want to make the most money for your home, maximize your profit, get good advice where the people aren't just trying to close a transaction, that's the team for you, Live Love Group. But you got to reach out. So to livelovememphis.com.
It's my job to give you the number, the line, 901-625-5200. That's how you get a hold of Jennifer Carstensen and her team. If you are Spanish speaking, make the call, 901-625-5200. I could slow down and do that in Spanish, but I don't speak it. It very small amount, un poco. But they speak Spanish at Live Love. They also speak Mandarin. My point is that no language barrier will keep Jennifer Carstensen from selling your home for top dollar, most you're going to get, and then getting you in your dream home as well. If you are in a renting situation and don't know if you can afford a mortgage, make the call, 901-625-5200. Like I like to say, at the very least, Jennifer is going to be a great resource. She's not going to make you sign anything, going to answer all your questions. If there's a good ownership situation for you, that's going to be good for you, not good for Jennifer, good for you, then she's going to find a way and get you in it. 625-5200. Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Parth Upadhyay covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. And we've got a lot of news to touch on. He joins us every Friday. He joins us now. Parth, what's up, man?
What's going on, y'all? How's it going?
Things are good, man.
Well, brother. How's home?
Home is good. I'm actually not home right now. I was home in Raleigh, North Carolina. But my mom's siblings from India are in the U.S. for the first time. My mom's brother, my uncle. So they wanted to go to New York City. So we're actually in New York.
Wow.
And I'm on vacation until the 23rd. But I told John last night, man, it wouldn't be a Friday afternoon if I wasn't on the Jason and John show. So,
bro, happy you to are be here so regardless. Kind to be doing that. This is, I must know, though, their first time to America?
Yeah, my mom's sister, her first time in America was last summer, last May. But her younger brother had never been. Wow. And this is his first time in the U.S., yes.
What early returns. What do they think of our country?
They think it's cool. They think New York City's overrated.
Well, a lot of us do. Yeah, there's a lot of us here that probably relate to that.
I mean, it's fun. I think Manhattan's fun. Brooklyn's fun. But
the day-to-day real life of New York is what's fun. It's not the It's not the
lines,
you know, tourist,
and tourist stuff. Yeah.
But like living in New York with the people is fun, you know, and going to the bodega and going to the corner store and like the pizza, that's fun. But it's like,
for sure,
Times Square sucks.
Right.
It's just shopping.
Suck? Exactly.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's a lot of people.
I never
thought it can be overwhelming.
The tourist stuff was overrated.
Yeah. It is.
I mean, they're coming from Bombay, bro. They're coming from Bombay. You know, like
coming from Bombay.
Well, Parth, we don't know what Bombay is like.
Yeah, you know what Bombay is.
You were like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You were like, you know, we don't know.
It's a big ass city in India.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's huge. I know it's
that,
huge.
But New York City is not just a big ass city. I mean, New York City is literally the Mecca. It's the center of the United States.
How many people in Bombay? Just off curiosity.
Ooh, that's a good question. I am not sure off the top of my head. Okay. I know it's one of the biggest cities in India.
You weren't prepared. You were prepared for Dane Danger questions, and I really apologize.
Mumbai.
Dane Danger, global rivalry.
I apologize.
You know.
Mumbai and Bombay are the same thing.
Yeah, your life is so interesting. And we're overwhelming Parth right now, so let's get some structure.
Why is the city called two different things? Why is it called Bombay and Mumbai?
You know, I think the original name was Mumbai, and then when the British invaded India, you know, they changed a bunch of names because they couldn't say the other names correctly, right? So they changed Mumbai to Bombay.
Yes.
So I think a certain segment of the Indian population calls it Bombay, a certain segment calls it Mumbai.
Oh.
My family always said Bombay, so that's kind of where that comes from.
Yeah. I always love learning about new cultures.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. What does your uncle think about the Memphis-Louisville series being renewed for 6 years?
I was telling him about that at dinner, and it didn't seem to resonate, obviously.
Well, because it's been so long. It's been so long since they played. You know, he remembers.
They don't care.
He remembers Denny Crum. He remembers the Fred Horton chair swinging. Come on, man.
I don't think college basketball is, you know, obviously quite as big in India as, let's say, cricket, right? Is so, you know, we were chatting about it at dinner, and I was really excited. I was thrilled. They could see it on my face, but I don't think it hit them the same way it hit me, right? I'll say that.
So how did it hit you?
Yeah, it hit me. It's exciting. I tweeted out a commercial a while ago. It was a Sheraton Hotels commercial from 08, like a March Madness ad. And, you know, just looking at the ad, it's like they've got fans from – it's like rival fans, right? Like living or staying at the Sheraton together and like coming together in the name of, I guess, hotels or whatever. So you've got a Duke fan and a North Carolina fan sharing an umbrella. You've got a Syracuse and Georgetown fan eating buffalo wings together at the Sheraton bar. There's a USC and UCLA fan riding the elevator together. And then you've got also a Memphis Tigers and a Louisville Cardinal fan mentioned in that same breath. So that kind of shows you, right?
I had like, no idea that existed.
That
That's really cool, Parth. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It's on my Twitter. You should check it out. But it kind of shows you, like, back in 08, where this rivalry was mentioned, right? In the same breath as Georgetown, Syracuse, same breath as UCLA, USC, same breath as UNC Duke even, right? So to not have that game be played for so many years, what, 2017, I think, was the last time?
Yep.
Memphis and Louisville met December 2017. So 8 years, and now it's back. And now it's back. So very, very exciting. And I think Penny said it best in that press release that the university put out yesterday. It's not just good for those two programs. It's good for college basketball.
I was going to say, I mean, and it seems like maybe in a way that wouldn't be the case for Tennessee, which we know would be another great rivalry if you brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville, and you could speak to this part, knowing that land so well. I mean, ACC, fifth best conference in the country last year, but I think John said it, I think it was four bids, right? They're not getting the same level of quality number of games, right, that teams in the SEC, that Tennessee is getting, and a Big 12, that kind of thing. And so it seems like to me that at a time where now Pat Kelsey's got them super relevant, you know, they could use you in that way. It's not just about, oh, we need another, you know, great opponent, great rivalry, somebody your fans are going to get up for, a good quality opponent. But it seems like for Louisville, too, that's you. You are that for them at a time they could use those. Would you agree?
No, absolutely. I think, like you said, it's twofold, right? It's the fact that Louisville's not going to have those cracks at the high-quality, big-name opponents like Tennessee is or like Arkansas is, you know, your other rivals there in the SEC who are getting big-time competition through their league play. Well, Louisville's not getting that for one. number two, like you said, Pat Kelsey is heading into year two. He's trying to reinvigorate that fan base. You know, he already has, right, with his energy and with what they accomplished last year getting back to the NCAA tournament. But to kind of build off year one and to keep excitement and to keep butts in seats and, you know, get fans really giddy, again, about Louisville basketball, what better way to do that than to reignite this old heated rivalry?
In terms of Penny and sort of his role in all of this, I mean, every single year he has met the mark. You know, obviously there was there were the COVID years, and, you know, that kind of messed up things. But it just feels like every year Memphis has had a very, very good non-conference schedule. Memphis has played in big events. They have played in, you know, marquee games. And this is sort of the latest example of that. What do you think it is that makes Penny so able to sort of get into these conversations and get these kinds of games?
I think for one, it's Penny, right? Like a lot of these coaches, they, you know, depending on what age they are, they you know, grew up watching Penny in the 90s or watched him as an adult, whatever it may be. So it's Penny Hardaway. It's the 1 cent brand, independent of Memphis basketball. Then it's Memphis as well. You know, folks remember what Memphis was at its peak. And I think they can see, anybody following closely can see that Penny is, you know, slowly but surely kind of getting it back to that. Last year, obviously, was a big step in that direction. The recruiting has been, for his entire tenure, has been kind of back in that direction as well in terms of getting those elite prospects to come to Memphis, first through high school recruiting, now through the transfer portal. So I think folks know that no matter how it goes, Memphis basketball is always going to be nationally relevant for one reason or another. So it's enticing, especially for a school like Louisville, who's not getting those chances in their league.
Parth, they've got, we just found out, right, Bamar, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. You know what I'm saying? That's two games two games instead of three. And I'm looking at this home schedule, right? And that's to be the one quibble with Louisville. You sure wish it could start here, but you look at that home schedule for next year, and it's, I guess, Josh in UNLV. You wrote this over Daily Memphis, San Francisco, New Orleans. There's not a lot of juice, even though we like where it's sort of headed, and especially the road games that you got, because Ole Miss, Mississippi State are on the road. And so I'd say that to ask you, you know, with that extra opportunity, extra game, it feels like that you've got to play with non-conference, that you're not in a three-game tournament. Do you think they focus on trying to get a marquee, you know, one-off here? I know how tough that would be to get a really good team to come here just for one, and there's no, you're telling me there's no pay. Either way, whether it's a home and home, do you think that would be a priority for them with the need to get butts and seats down in FedEx Forum?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. Like, even after they got the Bahamar stuff got finalized, a few days back, I think less than a week ago, and then, you know, yesterday you hear about Louisville, so that's, what, three additional games on top of your Mississippi State, your Ole Miss, your San Francisco, UNLV, New Orleans. What is that? That's I'm trying to do the math here real quick. So two in that MTE, the two regional rivalries on the road, San Francisco, UNLV at six, and then a seven. So eight. You still got, assuming it's a 13-game non-conference slate, right?
Yep.
And that's assuming the AAC doesn't add games, which would be crazy, I think. I know
crazy.
Tim Pennedy mentioned
you.
Going from 18 to 20.
Crazy.
There's no way in hell
it'd
if you're doing
killing
that.
Us. You'd be crippling us. Yes.
Yeah. No, it'd be crazy. So assuming the AAC stays at the 18-game league slate, that leaves 13 spots for non-conference, non-league portion of your schedule.
Yep.
Memphis so far has eight of those spots filled. So they got five vacancies. I think what's missing, even though it looks good now, right, with Louisville and potentially Purdue in the Bahamas, like those are, you know, going to be two top 15, top 20 teams.
Right.
Purdue certainly is going to be a top five team probably going into next season. But what's missing is kind of a couple of those big brands at home.
No doubt.
You know, even two seasons ago, you had, Virginia and Clemson, I believe it was, in back-to-back games at FedEx Forum.
That's right.
So Memphis has done it. Obviously, Virginia wasn't all that great in that year. I think it was what Tony Bennett's final year that was. But it's still a big brand, right? It's still a reason for folks to come to FedEx Forum to see an ACC school in their home gym, in their home building. So I think it's coming. I think that's what we're going to see in some of these last five. You might see some Alabama States and Jackson State type games, but I think at least one is going to be a marquee opponent at home for sure.
We're talking to Partha Padia, who covers the Tigers for the Daily Memphian. And then, you know, I know you've seen the story from The Athletic about eligibility and Dane Dange's name is mentioned and brought up. I mean, it seems like Memphis has sort of planned for him to be a part of this. Like, it's kind of constructed in that way. Do you think that their, you know, optimism and hopes will be rewarded with another year of Dane Dange based on what we know?
Man, it's so tough to say, right? Just because, like, I know fans get, like, jaded, right? And they get pessimistic because of things that have played out in the past. But even media, like, you know, we're supposed to be obviously objective and all that. But it's hard not to be like, oh, dang, you know, the no is coming. The no's inevitable. Because, you know, even in my 3 years on the beat, I've seen it. First with DeAndre Williams, you know, door gets shut on him when we think he has a great case. Then you got Caleb Mills, who, you know, obviously his case was less compelling than DeAndre's, but still a compelling case, I thought. Okay, the door gets shut on him too.
That's
so
right. That's right.
We've seen it not play out in Memphis's favor when there's been folks on that side telling reporters, you know, of the high level of optimism they've had in years past too, when these processes have played out. So it's hard not to be like, let's see. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So I think that's where I'm at. It's kinda, I know there's optimism, but let's see it through.
Real quick, what do you think on that tournament? Are you the food for somebody else in that Bahamar? Because we're looking for the fourth team, right? And if they're setting up, I mean, you look at Wake Forest and what they've got, and I don't have their breakdown in terms of what Forbes has brought in, parts, but you know where I'm going. That, I mean, that looks like the game like you would give to Purdue. Is our side, if that's the case, is it going to be a deal where, you know, you've got a team like of Purdue's ilk, or are you going to have another team like you? I mean, sort of how do you sort of envision that maybe playing out in terms of the way the bracket's set up?
Yeah, so when I spoke to a person from it's BDG Sports, right? That's the event organizing company, event management company that's putting on this event. They've put it on, you know, since the inception of the event, I believe. This person who confirmed the news to me of Memphis and Purdue and Wake Forest's inclusion in it, when this news came out, I think it was Goodman who reported it first. He wouldn't tell me who the fourth team was because Penn was not to paper yet, right?
Right.
But he could assure me it'd be a big brand.
Well, there it is.
And be a compelling opponent. And there's plenty of scuttlebutt, plenty of internet rumors, message board rumors about Texas Tech essentially being that
fourth team. I was hoping you'd address that, yeah.
Right, right. So what I'm trying to say is if it's Texas Tech or not, that fourth team is going to be more of a surefire contender, right? Mm-hmm. Memphis could be a contender. We don't know. But there's a lot of question marks surrounding Memphis. Wake Forest has been good but not great under Scott Forbes, right? Like they've been kind of knocking on the door of NCAA tournament berths, maybe more of a top 40 team than a top 25, if you kind of catch my drift.
I'm with you.
So I think what we're going to see with that fourth team is going to be more of a you know, bona fide top 20, top 15 tournament caliber opponent. And I think, obviously, like you said, Wake Forest would probably be, you know, for lack of better terms, the food.
The sacrifice.
For Purdue. The sacrifice for Purdue, barring an upset. And then Memphis would be paired with that other kind of big boy opponent. And, you know, assuming Memphis can handle business there, it'd be amazing to have a shot at Purdue in the freaking Bahamas, man. That'd be awesome.
You know why, Parth? Because Penny's nobody's food. Isn't that right?
Bingo.
It's nobody's food.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Love it.
Parth, you're the best.
Great
man.
Stuff, Parth. Thanks. Enjoy the trip, man.
Yes, sir. Will do. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
He is Partha Padia. Covers the Tigs for the Daily Memphian.
Smokeslam.
Smokeslam is coming, folks.
Right around the corner.
And like Penny, we want all the smoke at Smokeslam. Great barbecue going to be going down there from May 15th through the 17th. And it's going to be a great time in downtown Memphis. The weather feels great. It's not hot. You know, if all we need is a little bit of clear up with the rain. It's going to be ideal conditions down there at Smokeslam. Get the barbecue samples. Take the family down. See the fireworks. Get on the Ferris wheel. You have a great time. May 15th to the 17th, it's Smokeslam coming to Memphis.
I'm actually looking right now. The forecast, hopefully, it's going to be great for next weekend. Down in Tom Lee Park again, May 15th through the 17th. It's going to be a big weekend in Memphis that weekend with the EYBL obviously going on over at MSEC. And plenty of reason, after you're done with your basketball, get on down to the river and celebrate the best barbecue in the world. And this isn't a deal where, hey, you got to have a 10 invite to get the, to taste the actual barbecue. You're going to get all of it. And for you barbecue experts in the family, go down there. You can meet Melissa Cookston. She's a 7-time world barbecue champion. Got meet and greet opportunities with her. She can give you a few tips. The music's going to be great. You've got a lineup that includes Shane Smith and the Saints, the Revivalists. Country music giants Big and Rich going to be down there. Waylon Wyatt, Mark Edgar Stewart, and so many more. I need to tell you to go to smokeslam.com. That's where you get your tickets. Three-day passes or single-day tickets are available. You can also do VIP experiences. That is all available at smokeslam.com. Get ahead of it. Get your tickets now for next weekend down on the river, May 15th through 17th, down Tom Lee Park, Smokeslam 2025.
Still got time. Mother's Day is on Sunday. Get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers and get her the diamonds that she deserves. They're bigger. They're brighter. They're on budget at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Howie's going to take care of you. He's going to make you feel very good about that purchase and help you find the right one for mom, whether she's a working mom, stay-at-home mom, dog mom, spoil mom this Mother's Day. At Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Yep. Really cool dog mom gifts. It's a diamond paw necklace. Starts at just $119. She'll love that as a mom of a pet. If she's the mom of kids, boy, Howie's got a ton of options. The most important thing is that he's got an option for every budget. So whether you're looking to spend a little or a lot on mom, and as John said, you got to take care of all the moms in your family, do it with Howie. He's going to have you smiling as you walk out there, made the best deal that you possibly could when it came to jewelry. And then the way you paid, free financing, 12 months, 0% interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. He's got all the options there, too. So you're going to make a great deal and get a great gift from mom, and you're going to get that smile that you're looking for out of mom on Sunday. Don't not go to Robert Irwin Jewelers before Sunday. You're not doing it right. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Mother's Day sale going on right now. Take advantage. 5 locations, 3 here locally or online at rijewelers.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And got a big weekend of playoffs. Got 2 games tonight, 2 games on Saturday. We have any on Sunday? No?
Yes.
What do we have on Sunday?
We have
a slate of Thunder, Nuggets, and Cavs.
Oh, that's right. Okay. We won't know
those. Those will be game 4.
We just won't know the numbers on those until.
Correct.
But yep. I mean,
these are done.
Honestly, they're going to be the same. They're going to be the same numbers. These numbers don't open much differently from game to game unless somebody's injured. So, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. You never know, what can happen in the course of a game. Brad has been with us in spirit all week long, and he's got Cleveland -5.5 tonight, OKC -5.5 tonight, right?
Okay, yes.
And so you would be fading. You would take Pacers +5.5 and the Nuggets +5.5. And then tomorrow, who's he got?
Knicks +5.5.
Yep.
Warriors
+5.5. Heart of Champions. This is the championship pedigree game.
One out there.
I did see Steve Kerr said last night was about trying to find combinations that work with Jimmy, and that's why he played so many guys.
Yep, we said he should,
but I don't think he.
I wondered in trying to do that. Did he use Jimmy too much? 34 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need him. You just have to get to a game 6. And if they don't have a win before game 5, I'm afraid they're going to have to throw Steph out there, whether he's ready or not. Now, you will only have had a week at that point. On to that point, every other day you're playing. And so if you can stretch it to game 6 by getting one of these two in Golden State, you give yourself more of a chance. So, yes, you have to find what combos, including, okay, Kuminga, come on. Now I need you. You might work now. As I try to salvage one of these, you got to do everything you can to stay alive. Because
mm-hmm.
I could easily see Minnesota dispatching them in 4 straight games.
Yeah.
Because of this. It's that bad without Steph Curry. We gave you the numbers earlier.
Yeah.
On off court and stuff.
Kuminga showed some things. I mean, he shot the ball well.
Again, why was he so far in the doghouse?
Yeah, who knows? I wish.
Look awfully decent yesterday. I think he had 8 straight shots at one point. You telling me that couldn't help them earlier? What's going on, bro?
I don't know.
Now he's forced to play him.
Right.
But he had done something.
Yeah. No, he definitely.
And the guy has talent. He showed it again last night.
And I'm sure he's trying to get a deal and trying to get some, clarity on, his status.
Yeah, maybe he's just, organization. You know how they are. I mean, maybe he's just been, you know, a guy who's just been all about himself and his numbers and just, you know, that kind of guy. And Steve's decided you're not a part of this future here.
Exactly.
And that's why he was where he is. But you have to break the glass now. And they had to last night.
Yeah, we'll see if it gets any better.
Enough.
But
yeah.
And you know,
get a little better in Golden State, you would think, because the role player shots will drop there in a way that they don't on the road.
Yeah, but the problem is that it's just role players.
That's true.
That's the only issue. But yeah,
no, it's disgusting.
I mean,
the
but they
the
won. They won
difference.
By scoring 99 by double digits. So I mean, it's really just going to be about their defense and trying to hold the. And I think that's the part where it's going to be very difficult.
Well, and the other part of this is like Draymond keeps getting texts. He's two away from I believe a suspension,
that's
a one game suspension. So that's why you saw Steph trying to back him down in street clothes. Steph was trying to calm him down. If he'd gotten the other one, he's one away. Well, you're going to have Draymond to salvage any of the rest of this without Steph.
Yep.
So he can't be up to any more shenanigans, but really for the next couple of games.
Yeah.
He's too close.
So yeah, we'll see. Should be a really fun one tonight.
If Silver's got any, you know what? He's told his refs, y'all can't keep letting this guy knock people out, man, with his flailing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna do it for us this week. What a week it's been. Thanks to Parthu Padjai for joining us. Thanks to Anthony Sane for joining us on the show as well. Jeffrey and company up next. Have a great weekend. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.